The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Today, this is going to be an interesting title today for our podcast. It's called Get Off the Floor and Go Out the Door. So what am I talking about today? I want to talk about the importance of the structure of the New Testament church. It's kind of like a court case. I'm going to produce and present some evidence here, and I'm going to build this case to make it where we've kind of missed the mark on some of the modern church and over the years. So let's get into this thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. That's going to be our foundational text. I'm going to read this. And then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said unto his disciples who were standing around him, quote, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." I wanted you to say that again. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out. Somebody say, send out laborers into the harvest. Somebody say, the harvest. Why are you say, why am I repeating all this? Because in this context right here, we've got to pull some stuff out of this because I'm going to present this backdrop of what I'm talking about today. I believe, let me say this, let me preface this by saying this. I do not believe that the Lord ever intended for his church to stay in the confines of a four-walled brick and mortar building and conduct ritualistic program services week after week after week. I do not believe that was the New Testament structure. I don't believe that was the blueprint. I don't believe that's how he ever intended it for it to be. Notice it right here in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, that Jesus was going about cities and villages, and he was teaching in their synagogue. So he did occasionally go inside these places to preach, equip, and give them the good news. But notice it said that he saw them looking like sheep that had no shepherd. And he looks to the disciples and it says the harvest is plentiful. What did he mean by this? What did he mean by the harvest is plentiful? The harvest was not so much those that were on the inside, but those that were on the outside. Let me explain like this. Years ago, when I gave my heart to the Lord, over 21 years ago, when I said yes to the Lord, I was invited to come into a church service. And unfortunately, that's where I heard the gospel. For 23 years, I was on this earth and never heard anyone preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard about God. I heard about heaven. I heard about hell. Most of the time I heard about hell, it was out of context and not scripturally based. But I heard about God, and I heard about religion, and I heard about the Bible. But no one ever preached the gospel of the kingdom, ever. But it was one day I happened to be invited to a service, went into the service, heard the true gospel of the kingdom for the first time 21 years ago, and I responded with quickness because I knew at that point that it was exactly what I had been searching for. It was the void that was in my life. It was God that I was searching for. So I ran to the altar, said yes to Jesus, repented of my sins, asked him to come by the Holy Spirit into my heart, and he transformed my life, and I've never been the same since. But I didn't, and look, when this was happening, I was on the floor of the church crying out, weeping, giving my heart to the Lord. But watch this. I didn't stay in the posture of being on the floor. Eventually, I continued to come to the church. Why? So that I could be equipped, so that I could be fed, so that I could be discipled, so that I could be sent out into the harvest field. Where is the harvest field? Not inside the walls of the church, but the harvest field is on the outside of the walls of the church. The harvest field is at Walmart. Come on, it's at Kroger. It's at the ballpark. It's at your workplace. It's in the hospital. It's in the highways and the byways. That is the harvest field. But notice that Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Listen, how can we have so many church members, church goers, professed Christians, and professed followers of Christ throughout the world, but have a shortage of laborers going into the harvest? The answer is, we've got a lot of people that profess Christianity, but they're playing the religious system. They're coming in every Sunday morning. They're punching the clock. They're getting a 1 hour service, 3 points and a poem and singing some good songs, getting a little sermonette, and then going back home, and they're going back to their lifestyle, and there's no urgency to go into the harvest field. Most of their coworkers don't even know they're really saved. Come on, their family doesn't really notice a difference in them. Their friends, they're still hanging out with the same friends, still doing the same thing, because it's a very small remnant of people that are actually radically transformed by the gospel, that allow them to be penetrated, transformed, and their lives turned upside down to the point where they go out of the four walls and they begin to testify, come and see what the Lord has done for me. This is why years ago you heard me, I told that story one time where I was hanging out in a parking lot of a restaurant, and I saw a man walk all the way across the parking lot, and he happened to be a truck driver, and he came right up to me and my group of friends that we were with, that we, after we got done eating, and he asked us point blank, hey, do you know where there's any bars or any clubs or anywhere I can get a good drink? And the Holy Spirit quickened me, and I begin to testify that I was once like him. I was looking for the next drink, looking for the next smoke, looking for the next relationship. I was chasing everything, trying to fill the void. But then I begin to share my testimony with him. And long story short, I invited him to my apartment. I know it's crazy to invite a total stranger to your apartment. That's why you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't advise to do that unless the Holy Spirit's leading you and he's urging you and directing you by an unctioning of the Spirit. But nevertheless, that night I gave him a Bible through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was able to give him some words of knowledge that there was no way I could have known about this man. He began to weep. He gave his heart to the Lord that night. The next day he showed up at my door and I took him to church. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and somewhere out there on the road today is a spirit-filled, blood-bought truck driver riding around full of the Holy Ghost. Come on. And I believe with all my heart that he is sharing the gospel with other truck drivers even today. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about, I'm not against church services. I'm not against coming into the house of God, having a good Holy Ghost throwdown. And what do I mean by that? The Spirit of God moving, touching you, blessing you, people falling out in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit being operated, laying on of hands, casting out devils, healing the sick, performing miracles. I'm not against any of that. But what I am saying is that we cannot keep all that to ourselves. There has to come a time when we get up off the floor and go out the door. Let me give you some number more scripture. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And Jesus said unto them, go into all the world. He didn't say keep it in Jerusalem. He didn't say keep it in Capernaum or Bethsaida, or keep it in Judea and Samaria. No, he said, go. Come on, somebody say, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And guys, let me take some pressure off you. You and I can't save anybody. Oh, I know. You're like, what? You and I can't save anybody. Listen, Jesus commanded us to go and preach the gospel. Listen to what he says. And those who believe it will be saved. But those who refuse it or reject it, those will be condemned. It's the same way. Let me read on here. Watch this. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now stop right here. Let's throw another flag on the field. We got a lot of believers and a lot of Christians that, brother, I'm saved. I'm born again. But then when you further interrogate them and ask them, do you have signs, wonders, and miracles following you? And if they say no, many times I discover the reason why they're not seeing the signs following them is because they're not going out. They're keeping it in. So again, church is not a place for show and tell. It's not a place where people come in, look at me, I can prophesy, I have discerning of spirits, I have words of knowledge, I have the gift of healing. That's all great. I'm not despising the gifts. I'm not despising speaking in tongues. By the way, Paul the apostle even said that. He says, despise not speaking in tongues. He said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. But he did say this. He said, I'd much rather speak 5 words of understanding and edification than 10,000 words of an unknown tongue. So in other words, it boils down to this, guys. The church, listen to me. The church, as we define it today, I'm not talking about the ecclesia, but I'm talking about the brick and mortar church, because I got to make this where people will understand this. If we want to make this simple today, the brick and mortar, quote unquote, church, where you gather, and it may not be a brick and mortar church. It may be a tent. It may be a building somewhere. It may be a home group. It may be at a park. Wherever you gather, your gathering place is for you and I to be equipped as believers so that we are sent out, come on, to bring them the good news of the gospel. Let me prove it to you. Watch this. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And that doesn't mean you go get a rattlesnake and you tempt God by handling snakes in your church. That's the most dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not what that means. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall by no means hurt them. They, listen to this, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now watch this. I'm going to say something else. It's going to be very controversial, but you got to hear me out. You and I can't heal anyone. I'm going to say it again. You and I cannot heal anyone. Because it's not us that heals people. It's the Holy Spirit working through us that heals people. What am I talking about? He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So you know what I learned a long time ago? It's not my job to heal people. It's my job to be obedient, to lay hands on them and have faith that when I'm obedient to what God has told me to do, that he'll do what he said he would do. Oh, I got to say it again. I said, if I'm obedient to do what he said to do, then I have to have faith that he will do what he says he will do. So when I lay hands on the sick, I'm partnering with the kingdom of heaven so that I can see his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now watch this. But how can you lay hands on the sick if we always keep it to ourselves? And listen to this. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, because I know I'm getting some people that are probably looking at me all sideways because they're so deep in religion and traditions of men that they don't want to hear what I've got to say. But let me get a little bit deeper. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and he said, the Lord himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, we got a problem right here because you got a whole lot of people in the church that does not believe that there is still the office of the prophets and the apostles. They'll tell you that. There's no prophets today. There's no apostles today. Some don't even believe pastors. I mean, I'm telling you. But Paul said that the Lord gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Somebody say the fivefold ministry. Why did he give it to us? Verse 12 gives you the answer of Ephesians chapter 4. Ready? Here's why he gave them to the church. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Let me say it again. Why did he give us the fivefold ministry? For the equipping of the saints. Can I tell you, a church, that a healthy, thriving, strong, productive church will operate in a fivefold ministry. Oh, they will believe, heed, and operate in prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and apostles. All five offices will be operating. Why? Because that is what was operating in the early church. Now, let me read on. So what is the purpose of the fivefold ministry? The equipping of the saints. Now, but look at the second part of this. Here it is. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So watch this. When you and I go to our church, our next gathering, listen, for some of you, it's online right here. For some of you, this is your home church. For some of you, there's another online church. For some of you, you go to an actual brick and mortar church. For some of you, it's a home group church, a home church. Some of you, it looks different, but it's a gathering together with other believers. When you get together, it is for the sole purpose, watch this, to be equipped so that you can be sent out and be a soul winner. So why are we equipped? So that we can go out the door and bring the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, come on, to a dying world all around us. Let me read some more. Let me give you Luke chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you've commanded, and still there's room. So he sent out. This is the parable of the wedding supper, and he sends them out to gather those who he invited to the supper. Listen to this. And then the master said to the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Listen, that brings up another point that I want to make. We, for years and years and years, we've emphasized, and pastors say this all the time, I want you to bring somebody to church. We're going to fill up the church. Bring them to church. Invite them to church. Listen, I'm not bashing that. My pastor says that. Any good pastor should do that. We want to fill the church. I get it. But listen, can I be honest with you? But when I was lost in the world, I had multiple people invite me to quote unquote church. And time after time, no, it's not my cup of tea. I'm not interested in that. I have no, just constantly decline, negative, no. But watch this. But it wasn't until somebody decided to step out of the four walls of the church, invest their time and their energy and their life into ministering to me on a one-on-one basis. Now, what does that look like? I'm talking about they would spend time with me. They would go out to eat with me. They would share things with me about the Lord, but not shoving it down my throat, but they would express, come on, they would let their light so shine among me and around me that I saw their works, their life, their expression of Jesus, and I glorified God, and it turned me on to the gospel. It sparked an interest in this Jesus whom they were representing. Now, did this happen overnight? No. This went on for months. So eventually I caught on to, and this individual was one of my best friends in the world. And we grew up together and we both weren't saved. But one day he radically got saved. He got born again. And he kind of just drifted away, and I was still hanging out with all my party friends. I was still smoking weed on the weekends. I was still going to bars and still going to clubs and still, I was a good sinner. I was living as a good sinner, but I had two different types. I had two different friends. I had one group of friends over here that was of the world, and I had another friend that I grew up with that I knew who he was, but I knew that there was something about him that was different, that was changed. And I couldn't put my finger on it because, listen to me, I had an understanding of religion, but I didn't understand relationship. So when he began, all of a sudden I started noticing he wasn't cussing anymore. He wasn't looking at pornography anymore. He didn't have any interest in being around weed anymore. He didn't drink alcohol anymore. He didn't want to go to the bars anymore. He didn't want to do those things anymore. And I noticed there was a difference about him. But then when I was going through hardships and hard times, he was there to pray for me. Now, did I reject him because he was praying for me? No. Absolutely not. I said, and all I said was, I appreciate that, man. And yeah, did he invite me to church? Yes. And multiple times I said, no, I'm not ready for all that yet. But he was sowing seeds. Come on, somebody. I'm still on my message today. This wasn't in the church. This was outside the four walls of the church. In fact, I can't tell you how many times we rode around in the car together late at night and we'd park in a parking lot and I would just begin to spill my heart to him because I would say things like, man, I don't know what's going on with me, but I feel different. Something's happening. I don't really have a desire to do certain things anymore. And that's when he began to say things that really kind of frightened me. He said, God is working in your heart. God is moving on your heart. God is answering our prayers. And I said, whoa, what are you talking about? Because I didn't know a flip about any of this stuff. And then I met my girlfriend, which is now my wife. And we were living in fornication. She was a backslid Baptist, and I caused her to slide even farther back. But then again, all the while this was happening, one of my best friends on the side was still sowing seeds of the gospel in our hearts. Both of us praying for us, witnessing to us, expressing the Lord to us through being light and being salt. And then to make a long story short, he invited us on a Friday night. And by this time, come on, the Bible says one man sows, another man waters, and it's God who gives the increase. After a period of months of sowing and watering, I finally said, Melissa and I both said, you know, what's it going to hurt? We'll just go one Friday night. So we agreed, we went, and that was on June 2nd of 2000. And that was the night for the first time in my life that I can tangibly know for sure that I felt the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped in that building and drew me into repentance. And that was the night that I gave my heart to the Lord, and my wife radically got rededicated to the Lord. And we both from that day forward have been serving God. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about, listen to me, it would have never happened if one man wouldn't have stepped out of his comfort zone and took what he had been equipped with, took the word that he had been in his heart, and take it out of the comfort zone of the four walls of the building of the church and go into the highways and byways and risk it all. Because he did. He risked the relationship that him and I had always had because he didn't know what was going to happen. I could have completely rejected him and told him to get the religion out of my face, but he risked it all. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody today. Let me get back to this. Luke 14. He said, go into the highways, go into the hedges, compel them to come in. Here's the point I was trying to make. For years and years and years, people tried to get me to come to church, but I had no interest in church. But listen to this, but it wasn't until I had an interest in Jesus that I had interest in his church. Oh, I got to say that again for the back row. It wasn't until I had interest in Jesus that I had interest in his church. See, this is why I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that, listen, who in their right mind goes to a bar unless they have interest in drinking? If you don't, listen, if you despise alcohol and you don't like alcoholics and you don't like to be around people that are drunk and people that are sloppy drunk and you don't like to be around any of that, you are going to have no desire to go to a bar. Who in their right mind wants to go on a bass fishing tournament if you have no interest in fishing? Come on, I get people all the time that invite me to things that I have no interest in going, and I say, no, thank you. But listen to me, but I remember one time, for years, I wouldn't ride a roller coaster. I wouldn't get on it. I had no interest, nothing. And then I got on it one day. I rode on a roller coaster one day, and I got on that roller coaster, and I loved it so much that I kept going back to it. And listen, I would have had no interest. I would have no desire to get on a roller coaster unless I first caught interest in that. So listen, we've got it backwards. We're trying to fill the churches with a bunch of people that have no interest in Jesus, no interest in having a relationship with him, no interest in serving him, no interest in God. But if what would happen if we went to the workplace, went to the family reunions, went to a family outing, went to got around a group of friends that we used to hang around with, and we begin to be salt, we begin to be light, we begin to really love our enemies as Jesus told us to love them, and pray for those who despitefully use us. What if we really expressed mercy? What if we begin to really express forgiveness? What if we begin to go about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil? What would happen if the atheist that was at the line in Walmart that had no interest in God and you went up and he was sick in his body and you went up to him and said, I know you don't believe in God, but if you'll just let me put my hand just on your shoulder, I want to pray a quick prayer and I'm going to put it into the hands of God and see what he does. What if, let's just say, what if you say, well, what if he rejects it? What if God doesn't heal him? What if he doesn't reject it? What if God does heal him? Because if God did heal him and did touch his body, I'm telling you, if God truly touched him with signs, wonders, and miracles, as the Bible said, that would follow those who believe, when they go out the door, I'm telling you that he would be far more probable to say yes when you invite him to come to your service. Oh, I'm preaching better than some people are listening and responding today. But listen, I'm going to keep preaching anyway. Listen what Jesus said here. He said, watch this. Let me go back up here to the parable. Here we go. Ready? And it says, go into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Listen, you want to compel a dying world that Jesus is alive? Let them see Jesus in you. Well, they go to church. Who cares? You know what I mean? People go to church. They don't mean nothing. There's all kinds of people to go to church. I know people that get drunk every weekend and go to church. There's people that go to church and they beat their wives. There's people that go to church right here in Georgia that smoke crack and call themselves a Christian. There's people that go to church and they're in illegitimate relationships. I go to church, brother, and they're thieves and robbers and pedophiles, and the list goes on. People are sick. Listen, the word church has no impact on people anymore. This is why when someone actually steps out of the box and they begin to live biblical Christianity, they're considered to be radical. But I'm telling you, the religious will reject them, but the dying world will embrace them. Let me say that again. The religious will always reject the true gospel, but the lost and dying world will embrace it. That's how you compel them. And the servant said, "Master, it's done as you commanded, and still there's room." And then the master said to the servant, "Go out." Somebody say, "Go out." Go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house that it may be filled. Now I'm going to read one last passage and then I'm done. Acts chapter 4. Go to Acts chapter 4 with me. This is the New Testament. By the way, the book of Acts, I believe, I've always said this, it's the foundation blueprint of the New Testament church. Listen, denominations, every single year, denominations go out and they go through all these conferences and they go through these seminars and they go through church growth seminars and all this stuff. Listen, you want the best church growth seminar? It's free. It's in your Bible and it's called the Book of Acts. It's the blueprint. Listen to this. Now, as they spoke to the people, this is the disciples, the early church, the priest, the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. In other words, they grabbed them, they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be 5,000. I want to give you a disclaimer and a warning right now. When you step out of your comfort zone, when you go out of the outside of the walls of the church and you begin to preach the real gospel, yes, there's going to be consequences. You could get locked up. You could get arrested. You could get fined. You could get ridiculed. You could get persecuted. You're probably going to lose some friends and family and maybe even your job over it. Come on. That's the real gospel. But listen to this. But look at the fruit of it. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. By the way, back then, when they numbered individuals, they numbered the men. They didn't include women and children. So let me ask you a question. What are you willing to lose for the sake of gaining souls for the kingdom of heaven? Listen, I'm telling you right now, If it meant people laughing at me, ridicule me, spending the night in jail, whatever, to win 5,000 people to the Lord, not including women and children, I'm going to tell you right now, let me go and do it. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, the elders, and the scribes, by the way, here comes the religious church system. By the way, it was the religious church system that's stirring up all the garbage. And it always is. Here they come. Ananias, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set the disciples in the midst of them, they asked him, listen to this quote, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man," all this was over them healing a man who was sick, crippled. And you would think they would be rejoicing. No, listen to this. Watch this. If we are judged this day for doing a good deed to this helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, did you hear that, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, social media? Let it be known to you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Listen to verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now listen to this. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Come on, aren't you? Listen, I'm telling you, the Lord is sick of undercover Christians. I want people, when I go out to public, to the ball field, to the Walmart, to shopping, go to whatever, I want people to know that I've been with Jesus. I don't want them to know me for 3 years and be like, oh, I never knew you was a Christian. I never knew you went to church. I never knew you were a believer. I'd never heard you talk about the Lord. Listen to this. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, come on, signs, wonders, and miracles will follow you when you preach the gospel. So the evidence is standing there in the flesh. Listen to this. And when they saw him standing there, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now listen to this. Here's what they conferred among themselves. What shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them, and it's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But listen to this, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. Do you know that's what's happening right now? Christians are being severely threatened. They're being threatened by governments. They're being threatened by social media. They're being threatened by big tech giants. They're being threatened at companies. Their workforce, their families, their friends, they're being heavily threatened. Listen to this. So this spreads no further. Let us severely threaten them. Words, threaten. That from now on, they speak to no man in this name. Notice it was this name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why are you doing that? Because it stirs up devils. It stirs up religious devils. And it was all about Jesus. We got to shut this thing down because of Jesus, the name of Jesus. We can't let it spread any further, so let's threaten them. Listen to this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. In other words, let me break this down in Kentucky vernacular. Whether you like it or not, we're going to keep preaching in the name of Jesus, so you might as well get ready. So get a jail cell open for us. Get the fine ready. Go ahead and block us, censure us, demonetize us, shut us down, whatever you got to do, because we're going to keep preaching the name of Jesus, because when it's all said and done, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for there is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved. Listen to this. He goes on, he says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Oh, come on, somebody. I know. Listen, somebody may be watching this today and you say, I don't believe in this Jesus that you talk about. I've never seen him, so I don't believe. Listen, friend, I was once in your shoes. For 23 years, I served the devil. I never saw a notable miracle. I never saw healing. I never saw any of that stuff. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, if you'll ask, seek, and knock. If you'll ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. And if you'll knock, the door shall be open unto you. I'm telling you, if you legitimately cry out with all your heart, and if you are legitimately truthful about seeking a living God, if you're asking the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal himself to you, if you are really open to it, and if you are really watching, and if you're really listening, and you're being aware of what's going on, he will reveal himself to you. He'll make himself evident. I could sit here for 4 hours straight and tell you miracle, after testimony, after healing, after deliverance, after supernatural events that has happened in my life and my family's life for 21 years that we've been serving him. And I'll take it a step farther. It wasn't just 21 years. It was 44 years of my life, because once I gave my heart to Jesus, he began to, it was almost like he set a scrapbook in front of me and he began to open it up. And he says, I have been moving and working all the way back. Even while I was yet a sinner, Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And he showed me I was moving on your behalf way before you even thought about serving me. I protected you back then. You should have died of a car accident then, but I spared you. You could have been killed in a bad drug trafficking situation, but I spared you there. Your mother talked about, contemplated, and planned on aborting you, but I stepped in and said no, because I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, and they are of good, and to give you a future, to give you a hope, and to give you an expected end. My God, I'm going to just shut it down right here, because I feel the Holy Ghost just messing with me. Somebody's watching this today. Man, I feel him strong right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I feel like the Lord is speaking to somebody on the other end of this camera, on the other end of this microphone. There's two types of people that are listening to this program. Let me talk to the people that I wanted to center on at the beginning of this. Listen, you're listening to this, and you want to live comfortable Christianity. I'm telling you, God never called us to comfortable Christianity. He called us to be equipped in the church. And you say, well, I'm not getting equipped in the church. My church don't believe in the fivefold ministry. Then my Lord, get out of that place. Get out of that pit of dead man's bones and go find a church that's going to bless you, equip you, inform you, disciple you, so that you can get out the door and start doing the work of an evangelist and winning souls to the Lord. That's the first step you need to take. But if you're listening to this and you're happy with comfortable Christianity, my friend, you'll never be happy. You'll be miserable. Because listen, you can only hear so many messages. You can only get fed so many times. Listen, Gatorade and Powerade and all these drinks are good for you because they're full of electrolytes, but they're only good for you when you need to be replenished of the nutrients that you lost to begin with. But if you're not exerting energy and losing electrolytes and losing all these nutrients, and you're just sitting around sucking down Powerade and Gatorade, it's going to have a reverse effect on you. You're going to be, listen, all you're doing is consuming a bunch of sugar that you're not burning off, and you're going to suffer the consequences of it. God didn't call you to be a pond that sets and stagnates, but he called you to come on to be living water to the people. Because listen, you ever looked at a pond that is not moving and operating? It becomes stagnant because it sits still. There's no entry, there's no exit. It just stands and becomes moldy and stagnant and dead. Listen, that's what's going to happen to you if you choose to live in comfortable Christianity. So listen, this this Kentucky preacher is pushing you out of your box today. Why don't you say right now, say, Lord, I'm done with comfortable, normal Christianity. I want to let my light so shine among men that that they may see my works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Because I'm going to tell you something. If my buddy would have never stepped out of that box, you wouldn't be hearing this preacher preaching to you today, because I probably would have never gave my heart to the Lord. You don't know the people on the other end of your testimony. You don't know the people that God has set up in your path. If you'll just open your mouth, the Bible says, don't fear what you shall speak in that hour, for it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you, and he shall give you the words to speak. And you say, well, I don't know the Bible, preacher. I don't know the word of God. What am I going to say to him? Listen, just open your mouth and share and testify what God has done to you. I was a drug addict, but look at me now. I was sick and they gave me no hope, but look at me now. I was a drunkard and an alcoholic and going to AA meetings and I couldn't get delivered, but look what the Lord has done. Listen, if you got anything, share your testimony with them. And then the second group of individuals today are those on the other end of this thing. And you, listen, you're backslid or you don't know the Lord. Right now, we're calling you home. We're calling you to your rightful place, and that's back into the kingdom. Right now, if you would, please. Listen, I'm not going to tell you to repeat something after me, because you can repeat it and if your lips are speaking the words, but your heart's far from it, then it ain't going to work. You got to pray out of your own heart. So I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little bit uncomfortable for you. And it may make you and require you to step out of your comfort zone. And that is to humble yourself and repent. Repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you and change you and transform you. And ask him to help you to live how he has called you to live. Come on, do it right now. Just repent. Just say, Jesus, forgive me. Wash me. Transform me today. I want to live for you and no longer for myself today. I'm asking that you would make me a new creation in you today and make all things new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, guys, if you simply pray something similar to that with your heart, then you are a new creation. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're born again. I want to encourage you, get a Bible, read it, get a translation that you can understand that's going to equip you. Find a church. If you can't find a church, we welcome you home. We welcome you right here to get fed, blessed, encouraged, and informed. We want to equip you the best we can. And guys, listen, we're getting ready to step into a thing where in the future, we're going to have other voices come onto these podcasts that operate in different gifts and callings than myself. So it's going to be a iron sharpening iron, and it's going to be more, even a more of a blessing to you guys. So I want to, we're going to close this in just a minute with prayer, but before we do that, I want to give you guys an opportunity to keep informed of what we're doing on a day-to-day basis with our ministry. So right there on your screen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that is going to be our main landing page. If you would please go to that website, that's the URL, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. Go there, sign up to our daily digest. You'll get one email every single day in your inbox, and it's going to keep you informed of what we're doing. That's going to be all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Then I'm going to tell you to go a step further. And by the way, all this is free. There's no charge to this. If you have an app, or I'm sorry, if you have an Android phone or an Apple phone, which 99% of everybody listening to this has probably got one of those two, go to the App Store, whether it's the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, type in End Time Headlines, get the app. Right there, if you look at this picture, this is kind of what it looks like when you go to the App Store. download that app, get it into your hands so that you can keep up with all of our news and headlines. It's got push notifications, so it'll notify you. At the bottom, you can listen to our podcast. You can watch or you can listen right down there. So if you like the videos, you can watch. If you want to listen while you're working, driving, whatever, it's all there for you to do that. And by the way, we're on Spotify and Apple as well. So, and as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, edification, equipping, and you are led by the Spirit and you feel the Spirit of God drawing you to do so, to partner with us, we ask that you pray about that. And whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we would appreciate you guys helping support our ministry, because listen, everything we do is out of a partner support base, because we don't charge anything. We don't charge for messages, the apps, the subscription fees, all that stuff. Everything is absolutely free. We just ask that whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, you can do that. And listen, you can do that electronically by giving on the app right there, going to the main website, giving electronically, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, and that's 30655. So as always, guys, God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the program today. Let me pray for you today to end this broadcast. Listen, we're going to sign off for today. We are going to try to be back on here on Friday. It will not be tomorrow, but try to be back on here on, tomorrow is Friday. I'm sorry. See, I'm losing track of the days. So we're going to try to be back on here tomorrow. If not, you guys know the drill. We'll be back on Monday with another, I've got some stuff lined up, guys, for a more of a prophetic message or a prophetic update. So it won't be a devotional word like this, but it's going to be an informing word. It's going to be a prophetic update. It's what we call these, a viewpoint or prophetic viewpoint, prophetic update. So be looking for that. I'm going to try to get all that together tonight, later tonight, so we can do that tomorrow. But if something comes up, and the reason why I say that, because we're 2 weeks out from moving into our new home that we had built. Many of you guys know that we've been praying about getting into our home, to get that built. And we're finally 2 weeks away. And that means we're going to have our office, our podcast studio set up. So we're super excited about that. So in that process, there's a lot of moving, transitioning, shifting, and things that go on. So that's why, you know, right now we don't have a real set schedule, but I'm praying that that will change soon. So until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. I pray the Lord's protection to keep you from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.